Today's message is Man to Man, A Man After God's Own Heart by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Before David killed Goliath, and I really had to go back and look at this, because I always thought that his introduction to Saul came with him killing Goliath. But David was already working for Saul. Saul would be tripping at his evil spirit and stuff, and be tripping, his temper going, all that. And so somebody say, listen, man, what you need somebody can play the harp and calm you down, man, and get rid of those spirits. And somebody said, well, I know just the guy. This guy named Jesse. He got a son named David, and David would come and play the harp and calm these spirits and keep Saul from tripping. That was before Goliath. And yet, when you read it, after David, he starts saying, well, who's this David, and whose son is he? Act like he didn't know him. Now, either that evil spirit had him really messed up, or like some people, when they get very haughty, they got people serving them who never notice them. That's what I perceive. I perceive he had this guy, this boy David around him who was playing the harp, but he was insignificant to him. See, that's what happens when you're full of pride. You people who are not on the same status as you, you just ignore them and you disregard them. And so it's like when he after he kills Goliath, it's like they bring David to him again and say, now what's your name again? Whose son are you? And he had been working for him already. So here in 1 Samuel 18 verse 11, he's playing a harp for him one day, and Saul cast a javelin, and he said, I'm going to smite David even to the wall. It's a spear. I'm going to nail him to the wall. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Can't y'all picture David? He was like, whoa. I don't know if y'all remember President Bush. And y'all remember that? President Bush, he was speaking overseas. I think he was in somewhere in the Middle East, and somebody didn't like him. And like it's the same in that culture, like spitting in somebody's face. And they took the shoe and they threw it at President Bush. He said, "Whoa!" And threw another. Said, oh, I'm like, all right. Everybody thought President Bush was so dark, but he had some moves. Okay. And so David twice he avoided him, hitting him with the spear, and all this was because of jealousy. It says, verse 11, 1 Samuel 18, and David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Listen, you can't be afraid of people because God's with them. If God's with them, you can't do anything about it. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him a captain over 1,000. He puts him a captain in the army. And he had no prior military experience. We know that other than killing this Goliath, right? And he went out and came in before the people. So he put him in front of 1,000 men, thinking that he'll get killed out there in warfare. But God had his hands on him. It's something, man, when God has his hands on you, David could tell. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper. God will maneuver you and cause the attacks of the devil to not even be able to touch you. He set him up to kill him, but it didn't work. And he went out and came in before the people. Verse 14 says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. In other words, he conducted himself in a smart way. And the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, that he didn't do anything stupid to get himself killed, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. He would go out to battle and he would come back and he wouldn't lose men, and God would orchestrate his steps. And so, but this jealousy is what we saw was one of the things that led to God replacing him. So, you know, sometimes we can be jealous of people because you think they're going to be replaced, they're going to replace you, but it's their very jealousy that will cause God to replace you. Because it's not being a man after his own heart. The third thing we see about Saul was disobedient. We already talked about that. He was disobedient. So a man after God's own heart would be the opposite of that, would be what? Obedient. A man after God's own heart obeys God. And that's a choice you got to make, brothers, whether you're going to obey God or obey man. 1 Samuel 15. So the commandment to Saul was go and smite or kill Amalek and destroy everything that he has. Now, you don't have to like it. This is what God said, because this was God's judgment upon the Amalekites for some things that they had done prior. And God was going to wipe out the whole race of them. OK, people talking about God don't change. He does change. Thank God we don't see him operating like that in the New Testament. God changed. Praise God. His love, the grace of God made him change. OK, but he says, go smite Amalekite, kill everything they have, spare them not, slay man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camels, asses, donkeys. And Saul gathered all the people together and he numbered them. It was 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. They came to the city of Amalek and they laid wait. And Saul went to the Kenites. Go, depart, get down from the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. Because they showed kindness to Israel when they came out of Egypt. So he spared those people. Verse 7, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until down to Shur, that is over against Egypt. But verse 8 says, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. What's the problem? God told him to kill him. He said, the king and everybody. And he spared the king, Agag. And he destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But verse 9 said, but Saul and the people spared Agag. And they kept the best of the sheep, of the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and everything that they thought was, they only destroyed what they thought wasn't good, that they couldn't use or sell. They say, man, this is too good to burn. This is too good to kill or to destroy. And they would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed. Verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel saying, it repented me. This is God speaking through Samuel. It repented me. God says, I have regrets. I'm sorry that I set up Saul to be king. God can have regrets. God can bless you and have regrets. Man, I wish I didn't bless him like that. According to the scripture. It repented me. I'm sorry. I regret that I chose Saul to be king, which means Saul had a choice in his behavior. Saul had a choice in how he would reign. Saul had a choice in his decision making. It repented me that I've set Saul, but he's turned back from following me and he has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now, the prophet loves Saul. And he crying for him all night. The next day, God said, listen, you can cry all you want. I have rejected him. Which is a whole nother deal. That's proof that tears don't change God's mind. Faith changes God's mind. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. God said to him, I said, what you tell him next day, what you crying for? I rejected him. It's over. You can cry all you want. This is over. I searched for another and I found him. So to be a man after God's own heart means to obey God. It means to choose what he wants rather than what you want. To let his preferences become your preferences. To let his desires be your desires, even though it may be good to you. Because all this stuff that they kept, it was good to them. They couldn't see why they should have to give this up. But it was because God said it. Number four, the fourth thing that we see about Saul, he was a people pleaser. He was a people pleaser. Notice I said earlier that Saul and the people spared Agag. He was a people pleaser. 1 Samuel 15, verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul and said, now, here, he says, didn't God tell you to go and kill all the Amalekites and sheep and everything? And watch this. Samuel comes to visit him, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Hey, man of God, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now we see a liar too. I mean, as if the man of God wasn't going to know. Can I tell y'all something, y'all? I'm very serious about that. I'm saying this to scare nobody. But it's bad to lie to your man of God. But we also see the same thing happen with Ananias and Sapphira, right? In Acts 5. Lying to the man of God, in that case, it caused death. That's in the New Testament under grace. So don't tell me that there's no judgment or consequences for lying to your man or woman of God. Amen. And in his case here, he lies to him. I perform the commandment of the Lord. I perform the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, you have, huh? Well, why, what's all this? Because if you perform the commandment of the Lord, I'm sheep. What's the bleeding of the sheep in my ear and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? And Saul said, look, verse 15. They have brought them from the Amalekites, the people. They, brothers, there's a time you got to speak for your house as a leader. Amen. Judgment didn't come upon the whole human race because Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. The judgment didn't come till man ate of it. And the New Testament says, and God commanded the man. Now, I can show you that scripture after scripture. When the angel of God came the second time, these three men, three men who came and appeared to, the angel came and appeared to Abraham and said, about this time next year, your wife going to have a child. And Sarah was listening in another tent and Sarah laughed. And the angel said to Abraham, why is Sarah laughing? The angel didn't say, Sarah, why are you laughing? They said to Abraham, why is Sarah laughing? Why? Because God initially told him he's going to have a child. It was up to him to talk to his wife and get her on the same page with God's plan. Y'all don't like this, huh? And so we asked him, he said, why is she laughing? Brother, a lot of times we want to say we're the heads of our household. You know, with being the heads of household, there's responsibility that comes with that. There's some stuff we got to answer to God for. Amen. There's some stuff, brothers, you're going to need to make some decisions based upon what you really know is right before God. And that may mean it may be a cold night. Y'all get that later. Might be a cold night, but no, I know this is what we got. No, we're not doing this. Now, brothers, let me tell you this. I don't believe that we should have to bring our wives along kicking and screaming. I made a deal with the Lord. Okay. My wife and I, we come into agreement with things. I told the Lord years ago when he called me into ministry and started telling me certain things. I said, God, listen, I got to fight devils. Sometimes I got to fight with people. I don't have to be fighting in my house. I said, so God, when you speak to me, I need you to let my wife know. And we got to get on the same page so we don't have to be kicking and screaming. So we get on the same page. You know, I don't want to. I'm the man. You're the woman. This is what we're going to do. No, ain't nobody got time for all that. That's stress and strife. So one of your prayers need to be that you come into agreement. And that you present what you know is of God. And that doesn't mean, brother, that all the time God's going to always speak to you first. Lord, correct me about that. The Lord may speak to your wife first thing about things. But I believe he'll confirm it to you as the head of your household. Okay? So Saul wasn't taking responsibility. He said, the people have brought them from the Amalekite. The people spared the sheep, the oxen. The people spared the best. And then Samuel keeps speaking. He says, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekite, fight against them until they be consumed. Why, verse 19 of 1 Samuel 15, why did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil? He said, what you wanted to do was get the good stuff for yourself. You're making excuses. And you did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Verse 21, but the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been destroyed, and the reason why they got them, so they can sacrifice to the Lord. It's somehow the devil always give you a religious reason for your disobedience. You come up with another scripture to make you think it's all right to disobey God. Okay. The reason why we kept this, we want to sacrifice to the Lord. Come up with religious reasons for his disobedience. A couple things I want to make, points I want to make about this. A man of God seeks to please God, not people. A man of God can't be in a popularity contest to please people. And that's what was going on with Saul here. He's pleasing the people, using the people as an excuse why he's not doing what God told him to do. We see in Acts the fourth chapter, the Peter and John, they were after the man got healed as they were going into the temple. And he went into the temple with him, got up off his bed and started walking and jumping and leaping and praising God. Because they said, silver and gold have we none, but such we have in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. The religious people came together, religious leaders, Acts 4, 18, 19. It said, and they called them and they commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken, that word hearken means hear and do, what you say more than God. See, you judge that. He said, I know you're threatening us. I know it looks like there's consequences to this. And brothers, a man of God is willing. Listen to me. I'm not just saying it's a religious way. I had to live this life. Is willing to face consequences from man to obey God. That's a man. That's a man who's really after God's own heart. Which means it may look like you're taking a temporary loss. It may look like you're taking an L. It may look like this is not going to work out to your good, but you know that you need to obey God rather than man, even if it looked like it's not going to work out for your good. And that's what Peter and John said. They said, whether it's right for us to obey God in the sight of God, to listen to you more than God, said, now you judge that. In other words, saying that for us, that's really a no-brainer. The same thing, they said the same thing in Acts 5 and verse 29, because after that, they back out and kept preaching and teaching the name of Jesus. And those religious scribes and Pharisees came to him and said, they came to him again and said, didn't we tell you? Didn't we threaten you and tell you, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus? Then look at the response again, Acts 5:29. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Maybe you don't understand what we said to you the first time. We told you, figure it out and judge. Let me tell you what we're saying. We're telling you we got to obey God rather than man. A man of God will obey God rather than man. Some of you heard me talk many times. And so many of these things, y'all, I dealt with as a young man in my 20s. But it changed the trajectory of my life. And it put me on the right course. And it caused me to be able to better evaluate opportunities and filter out things later. Is that, told me when I was in Maine, and last time I told you about it, I was working for my uncle. And he told me, I can't go to church. I need to be here working on Wednesday night. Well, that was not our agreement. I didn't have any other job. But I knew I need to be in church on Wednesday night. I've committed to teach this Bible study. And he said, well, either you choose this job or you choose church. Well, he made that real simple. See, when you put it like that, it's clear what I'm doing. If I do what you say, then I'm choosing a job over church. So I said, well, do what you got to do. He said, well, you fired. I said, I quit. He'd been dead for a few years now, so I'm still here to tell a story. I quit. I got the last say on it. Okay? And watch this. I had, at the time, I had one child at home. This is around 1986. Okay? Right after I went there to work for him, a few months later. But, and I would love to say, and as soon as I quit, I got a check for $10,000 that took me through for the next 3 months. That's a lie. No, there were some real natural consequences for that. But there's a scripture that's spoken about Moses. It says Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose to suffer with the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which tells y'all, contrary to all the folks who be lying about the miserable life of sin, the scripture says the pleasures of sin. So sin can be very pleasurable. But will you choose to obey God or to enjoy the pleasures of your sin? A man of God says, I'll choose God and choose what God wants me to do, even if it looks like I got to suffer in the meantime. Because, remember, as I was teaching Wednesday night, the goal is not to start. The goal is to what? To finish. See, a lot of times we don't please God because we're looking too short term. We ain't in this for the short term. Okay? We're in this for the long term. I don't want a blessed year. I want a blessed life. Amen. I don't want a blessed season. I want a blessed life. I don't want my income to be up this year and then down next year because I chose to do this that looked like, and then I lose it. So something I learned from Pastor Dollar, recently meditating on this. He taught a principle many years ago, and I've lived by it. What you compromise to keep, you lose. Follow it out. A lot of times you compromise because I'm going to compromise so I can keep this and keep this going for me and keep this working. Compromise for a woman, compromise for a job, compromise for money. You end up losing it anyway. And you have to go back to God. So a man of God seeks to please God, not people, even if it looks like it's to his natural detriment. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Paul was a man after God's own heart. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And the people are judging Paul, saying he's not this and he's not that. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. For, yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing myself, yet I am not hereby justified. He that judges me is who? Is the Lord. Now, Paul said, in the big scheme of things, it's not that important what you think about me versus what God thinks about me. In the big scheme of things, I'd rather please God rather than please you. That's a man of God, y'all. And every day we're confronted with opportunities and decisions that we have to choose whether we're going to be a man of God and please or please our flesh. As a man of God, a man after God's own heart, it has become a small thing to you what other people say to you versus what God says about you. Listen, y'all, I lived that as a child. Okay? You know, some of y'all don't even know, even this whole thing of speaking in tongues, being spirit filled and all that kind of stuff. You know, there was time the tongue talkers, we took a whole lot of persecution. Everybody speaking in tongues now, even those who can't speak in tongues, learn to speak in tongues. Okay. But there was a time people made fun of the tongue talking people, little hole in the wall people, hole in the wall churches. Okay. It was so to just to be spirit filled. You had to be bold to say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You had to be bold to carry around a Bible. And back in my day, see, y'all come to church now, and you know, I came tonight. I have my physical Bible with me. I got my iPad. I got this. Back in the day, boy, if you didn't carry a Bible, you wasn't saved. You could tell the saints, everybody walking. Everybody, the big Bible's under their arm. Now we just put it in our pocket, you know. But everybody knew you was a Christian because you carried your Bibles to church. Imagine me walking through the hood in the project carrying my Bible.
The Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. Are you seeking the heart of God to be the best man you can be for your wife and family? Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages all men to seek the heart of God. Order this CD today. For your love gift of $7 or more, just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Man to Man, a man after God's own heart. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.